John 21 tonight. I broke my glasses Monday morning. I picked them up and they just fell apart. So I found these old glasses. The good news is I can see you guys in the front row. Fourth row on back, it's kind of blurry. So if you just need to get up and leave at some point, I won't notice. So you just help yourself, all right? John 21. Good. You got it? Let's pray. Lord, again, we ask you to speak to our hearts, guide and direct in this time. Make it profitable, Lord, for us. Use it in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always interesting to me how the Lord leads. Several weeks ago, I had read this chapter, and the Lord had been speaking to my heart about it. And Sunday morning, must have been Sunday morning, pastor said, hey, can you preach Wednesday night? And this passage came to my mind immediately, and I began to meditate on it, think about it. And then I think Monday morning, I am working with a young man, just trying to come alongside him and encourage him in the Lord. And every day he will email me or text me what he had for devotions that day and some application. And I think it's kind of a random out of a book or something. And he texted me on Monday morning and said, hey, here's the passage I read. And guess what? It was John 21. And he said, I'm not really sure why some of these things happen. And I texted back, said, hey, come Wednesday night, I'll try to help you find out. So I think the Lord wants me to preach on this. If I get done and you don't think so, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. We come to this passage, and we're going to look at a specific man. Now, there are a group of men involved, but we're going to look at one man specifically because he kind of stands out. He is the leader, and he is a man who had once walked with the Lord and had made some bad decisions and had been disobedient to the Lord, and we find him actually in this passage being disobedient, and the Lord comes to restore this man. Now, this message is important because if you're a Christian, and I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but if you've been saved for very long, you know there have been times in your Christian life where you were not extremely close to the Lord. In fact, all of us probably have times when we strayed far from the Lord. In fact, you may be here even tonight, and you are not experiencing the closeness to the Lord that you once had. Maybe some things have crept into your life that should not be there, and tonight, you are kind of like Peter, and you're in need of restoration. And so tonight, I want to preach to you on the topic, the road to restoration. The road to restoration. Well, if we're going to get on the road to restoration, we need to find out, first of all, why we need to be there, okay? So why did they need restoration? The first point, the need for restoration. I want to give you three things, and I had you turn to John 21, and really I should have had you turn to Matthew 26. So hold your place in John 21. We've got to lay some groundwork before we get there, and we're going to jump back to Matthew 26, and we're going to see three things that occurred in this man's life that caused him to need restoration. And the first thing we find out about this man is that he was a deserter. He deserted the Lord. He left the Lord. And if you look in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, and it says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended, the word is to stumble, to fall away, because of me this night, for it is written, and here he quotes Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So here the Lord is getting toward the time of his crucifixion, and he says, I want you men to know, his apostles, he said, I want you men to know, there's going to come a time when the shepherd, and that was him, he said, when I am smitten, you folks are going to run for the hills. And he said, this has been prophesied some 500 years earlier, and it's going to happen. Now, how would you respond that if the Lord came to you and said, Scott Foster, I just want you to know, buddy, you're going to deny me when things are going hard, you're out of here. Now, we're pretty hard on Peter, but let's be honest. If I said, Stephen Carrier, you're about to graduate from Crown College, but in 2 years you're going to turn from the Lord and you're going to be far from God, what would you say? No, I am not. And isn't that what Peter said? Look at the passage in verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I not, or never be offended. Isn't that something? What's he saying? Lord, now I understand these guys. They're a bunch of losers, you know. I've been hanging out with these guys. I know. Yeah, when he gets, I can understand if they flee, but I'm Peter. I am the rock. Man, I'm going to stay with you, Lord. No matter what happens, he said, I'm going to stay with you. He said, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to fall away. Now, again, I gave two examples here, but we could go to every one of those, and even myself, and you say, Gary, are you ever going to fall away from the Lord? And I would say, no. Surely not. But the simple matter of fact is, it doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been saved, what you know, what you don't know, all of us can fall. We can all fall. And poor Peter, he's set and determined. He's not going to fall. He's going to be okay. He's not going to stumble. But you know the rest of the story, don't you? Look in verse 36 of the same chapter. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to pray. He said, I'm going to go pray. You guys stay here and pray. And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and what did he find? They were having a great prayer meeting. They were praying heaven down. I mean, oh, it was exciting, right? What did he hear? And they were all sound asleep, and they weren't praying. And the Lord says, hey, guys, verse 40, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them what? Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you ever knelt down to pray and woke up about an hour later. I'm not going to ask you that. We would all have to confess to that, wouldn't we? But these guys, Lord says, hey, you guys need to pray. Your spirit's willing, but boy, your flesh is weak. But they didn't pray. A little while later, Judas comes on the scene, and he betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. And what every one of those guys do, every single one of them, what'd they do? They all deserted, didn't they? They all said, feet don't fail me now, and they were out of there. In fact, one of them, John, somebody grabbed his coat, and what he said? You can have my coat, I'm out of here. He took off. And every single one of these guys deserted the Lord in his time of greatest need. Why? Well, they quit praying. They weren't praying like they should have. They were operating in the flesh, and they fell. And they deserted the Lord. And they quit walking with the Lord. I meet people all the time. And if you talk to people much, you do too. Oh, yeah, I used to go to church. What happened? Well, they quit praying. They quit reading the Word of God. And they've fallen away. And this is the state that we find Peter here, Peter the deserter. But it doesn't stop there. Not only to desert the Lord, but look in verse 34 of the same chapter. And Jesus said unto him, this is right after Peter said, Lord, these bunch of goofballs, I can understand it, but old Peter, no, I'm standing firm. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Wow, what a prophecy. And he says to Peter, buddy, you think you're something, but before the cock crows tonight, you're going down and you're going to deny me not once, but three times. And so as the night plays out, what happens? The Lord is taken and he's captured. They take him. Peter is standing afar off. And one of the maids comes up to him and says, hey, weren't you with him? He said, oh, no, that was probably my twin. There's another guy around here who looks just like me. Not me. And he goes along, and before long another maid comes up to him and said, I am sure I saw you with him. He said, no, wasn't me. And think about this, folks, the third time, here is Peter, the rock, the leader of the apostles. And someone comes to him again and says, I'm, you know what? Even the way you talk sounds like him. Your speech betrayeth you. And what did Peter do, folks? He swore and he cursed and said, I don't even know the man. And he denied the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And you know, in Luke chapter 22, the word of God says that just as soon as that happened, what the Lord looked at him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how Peter felt? You say, well, Gary, I would never do that. Let me ask a question. When was the last time you were at the grocery store and you're checking out, when your wife made you go to the grocery store and you bought all the wrong stuff anyway? I think my wife does it just to see what I'll bring home, you know. Thank the Lord for cell phones, because then I can call her and say, now, is this what you wanted, or is it this what you wanted? Or, and we eat a lot of new food when I go shopping, because you never know what you're going to get. But think about it. You go through the checkout, and the Holy Spirit of God says to you, you know what? You need to give her a track. And you look back, and you see all those people standing there, and you think, are you kidding? There's no way. What have you just done? Or you're at work, and they're taking the Lord's name in vain, and they're saying things, and you just stand there, and you don't say a thing to them. What have you just done? You've denied the Lord. In your silence. Or they're telling a dirty joke, or showing dirty pictures, and you don't do anything, and you just go along with it. Or they say, boy, do you go down to that church down there in Gray, a bunch of wild people, their preacher gets up and shouts and yells at people, and they're just a bunch of, you know, they all, the women wear dresses, and they all dress, and they you look so holy, and I don't go there. No, a bunch of wackos at that church. And we deny the Lord. We're pretty tough on Peter, but I'm afraid we do the same thing. We do the same thing, folks. And can you imagine how Peter felt as the Lord looked at him? Desertion, denial. Thirdly, disobedience. Now, this is kind of hard to see. You're in Matthew. Turn to Matthew 28 and verse 16. And the Lord has appeared to them twice now in Jerusalem. And he says to them in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. All right? So the Lord said, you guys go to Galilee, you go to this mountain, and I'm going to come and I'll be there. Okay? You just hang out there, I'll be there after a while. Now turn, we're finally going to John 21. John 21. And this is where we find these guys. Okay? John 21, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Wait a minute, what are they doing at the Sea of Tiberias? I thought they were on a mountain in Galilee. What are they doing? Well, let's find out. It says, there were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, uh-oh, I'm so glad Roger Cox is here. I'm sure as soon as I said this text, Roger thought, oh, no, here we go again. I love to preach against fishing because I hate it. I just no appeal to fishing at all. So, Peter, these guys were supposed to be waiting in the mountain, right? What are they doing, Roger? God said, look, you guys, go wait in this mountain. I'm coming. Now, we don't know what Peter was thinking. The Bible doesn't say. We're going to have to read between the lines a little bit. But I know how I feel in my Christian life when I blow it. And you're discouraged. And you just want to quit. And can you kind of understand that from Peter's viewpoint? Here he's deserted the Lord. He's denied the Lord. And now he's going to disobey the Lord. Because the Lord said, you wait right here, Peter. You guys wait on this mountain. I'm coming. And you know what? I think Peter just said, you know what? I'm a failure as an apostle. I'm just nothing. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do something I know how to do. I'm going fishing. Now, as you know, these guys were commercial fishermen before Christ called them. They knew how to fish. This was their sea, okay? May have been even Peter's boat. We're not sure. May have been his boat. And they said, you know what? We've had enough. We are going fishing. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with fishing. If you like to fish, Roger, you just help yourself. Except on Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. And these guys said, you know what? We have failed the Lord. We're going to hang it up. This apostle stuff, it's just not working out for us. We're going to go back to the old ways. We're going to go back and go fishing. Have you ever felt that way? You know what? I got saved and I quit doing that stuff and I started doing this stuff and I, you know, started going to church and reading my Bible and man, I failed again. I've denied the Lord again. I haven't witnessed the way I should have when He told me to, and I did this thing and I shouldn't have, and I'm just going to hang it up. Just going to quit. Or maybe you've gone through a tough time in your life and things haven't worked out the way you thought they should. And you say, you know what, this God thing, it's no good. I'm going to go back to the old ways. I'm going to go back to doing what I used to do. And that's exactly what Peter did. He said, boys, I'm going fishing. And what'd they do? They said, we're right with you, buddy. Here we go. So here's the state, the need for restoration. Men who have deserted the Lord, they've denied the Lord, now they are disobeying the Lord. And again, I just want to encourage you tonight, just examine your heart. Are you walking with the Lord today? Are you serving the Lord today? Or are you kind of like Peter? Just kind of thrown in the towel. Forget this stuff. You know, I tried to serve the Lord. I tried to take a bus route and, you know, took it from 27 to 4. I did that, by the way. That's why Annis Bernard became a bus captain. Years ago, we used to have bus board over here. And we'd have, or maybe it was over here, I don't know which it was. I think it was over here. And we'd have, you know, every bus, how many they had. And I was the bus director, you know, the leader. And I got a bus route. And one Sunday, I had like 4. And Annis said, you know what? I can do better than that. So she became a bus captain and one of our best bus captains ever. She did a great job for the Lord. But maybe that's kind of where you're at in your Christian life. You know, I tried to serve the Lord. I tried to live for the Lord. I tried to witness for the Lord. I tried to be separated for the Lord. But it just didn't work out. And so I just quit reading my Bible. I just quit trying to pray. I quit trying to serve the Lord. Just kind of gone back to fishing. Gone back to doing whatever I was doing before. Well, that's what those guys are. If you're there today, then you need restoration. And we see this the nature of restoration here, this second main point here in chapter 21 of John. And the first thing I see is the person who brings restoration. This is exciting to me. Whose fault was it they were where they were? Whose fault was it that they denied the Lord? That they deserted? Now they're in disobedience. Whose fault was it? Well, it was their fault. They're the ones that made those choices. They're the ones that did those things. But you notice there in verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, he showed himself. Jesus showed up. He is the one that they deserted. He is the one that they denied. And yet here the Lord is, and he shows up and he says, hey guys, I want to do a work in your life. I want to restore you to fellowship. Isn't that an exciting thing? Aren't you glad that we have a God who is a merciful, one of my favorite words, it's really not my favorite word in Scripture, my least favorite is that word, long-suffering. But aren't you glad God is? And that he's gracious. And he saw those guys out fishing, and he said, those poor guys, I'm going to have to help them out. And the Lord set out to restore them and to bring them back. Isn't it a wonderful thing to stop and think about the Lord looking to restore believers who have strayed? In the story of the prodigal son, isn't that a great story? One of my favorite parts in that story is when the prodigal son finally has enough, and he's been living with the pigs, and he stinks, and he's filthy, and he's nasty, and it's just wretched, and he finally decides to go home. And he starts up the lane to the house, and what's his dad doing? What's his dad been doing the whole time? He's standing there looking for his son. Isn't that a great truth? And you say today, well, Gary, boy, I'm not saying that you're living in adultery, but I'm saying you've strayed from the Lord. And the Lord, folks, is looking for you. It's like the story of the lady with the lost coin, the shepherd who lost the sheep, and he went out to find him. And the Lord wants to restore you and bring you back to that place of fellowship and usefulness once again. So the Lord shows up on the scene. He wants to restore these guys. And look at the steps of restoration that he takes here. First thing, they had to realize they had a need. And to me, this is such a funny story. Now, again, I'm not much of a fisherman, but our resident fisherman, Mr. Cox, does it really matter which side of the boat you fish out of? It does? Okay, that's pretty exciting. Maybe that's why I'd never caught anything. Wrong side of the boat. The guy that took me out, he was a fisherman. He got the good side. He gave me the bad side. Now the truth comes out. There you go. Well, it was true in this story. These guys fished all night. By the way, what'd they go back to? Something they thought they could do. Let's go fishing, guys. We can do this. And can you imagine their spirit all night long? Oh, this is great, man. We're back fishing. Oh, yeah, guys, strip off the coats. This is great. Let's go, man. Throw those nets over. Hey, we're gonna. And then about 2 hours later, okay, guys, let's do it one more time. And about 5 hours later, oh, I hate fishing. What are we doing out here anyway? And all night long, they're fishing. They catch nothing. Not one stinking fish. Talk about realizing how useless they are and how weak they are, and they can't even catch a fish. This is how they made their living. Isn't that amazing? What'd God do? He said, okay, all you fish, go over on that side of the sea. Just stay away from those boys, okay? Just get over there a little bit. Didn't catch a thing. And then the Lord shows up. Now, you fishermen that fish all night and catch nothing, and you come home and your wife says, well, dear, how did it go? How much did you catch? And you have to say, didn't catch anything. Not one stinking fish, man. We were out there all night long and didn't catch anything. I tell you. That's what these guys did. Now, they didn't realize it was the Lord. And they said, man, we can't catch anything. And God said, Jesus says to them, okay, guys, tell you what. I think you're cast on the wrong side of the boat. Now, I never knew that was true until just now, so I've been educated. But this was obviously supernatural. And they throw that net overboard, and hallelujah. I mean, the Lord said, okay, guys, come on. And he brings all these fish in, and they catch 153 fish. I mean, what a haul. And Peter, he may have been dumb, but he wasn't stupid. And he said, hallelujah, that's the Lord. Okay, there's something special about this. And I love Peter's response. I love his response. What'd he do? These other guys, they're going to get all the fish on board. They're going to, you know, I think they're probably about 100 yards or so out. Peter said, you know what, guys, I'm taking off. And he puts his, now this is kind of odd. He's probably got a loincloth on. He's about there fishing. And he puts his coat on. And then he jumps overboard. Okay, Peter, and you lived on the ocean or the sea. I'm not sure about you, buddy. And he takes off because he wants restoration. And he wants to walk with the Lord. He wants to fellowship with the Lord again. And nothing's going to stop that boy. And he jumps over, and man, he goes for it. Of course, that's Peter's life, isn't it? Peter does everything right away. And he just jumps in, and he goes for it. And he shows up on shore, and the Lord has already got them breakfast. He's already prepared some fish. Don't know where those came from either. But he says, boys, sit down and eat. And he begins to deal with them, begins to restore them. And I want you to see real quickly three things that he deals with as restoration of Peter. And this is probably the most famous part of this passage. In verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon. Now that's interesting, isn't it? He didn't call him the rock. He called him Simon. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest, and here is the phrase that has been speaking to my heart for several weeks. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? Now, the passage doesn't tell us what he's talking about. When we get to heaven, we'll know. I tend to think, because I don't like fishing, that he said, you love me more than these fish? See, I can answer that one real easy. I don't eat fish either, so hey, that's a piece of cake. But it may have been, do you love me more than these other guys? We don't know. I think probably it was the fish. Do you love me more than this fishing that you left, that you used to do? Do you love me more than that? And those of you that studied this passage, you know what the Lord says here. He's saying, hey, do you love me with a supreme love? And look how Peter responds. He said, Lord, thou knowest that I, now in our text it says love me, but you know in the original it means to have, Lord, I like you a lot. And so the Lord asks him again, and he says, hey, Simon, do you love me again? Do you have that supreme sacrificial agape love for me? And he responds and he says, Lord, well, now, Lord, you know I like you a lot. And you know that in verse 17 he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he changes the word, do you like me a lot? He's saying, Simon, do you even like me a lot? I mean, is this really true? And Simon was grieved. He was grieved in his heart because Jesus said, Simon, do you like me a lot? Do you even like me a lot? And the Lord is restoring Simon to himself, and he's saying, Simon, you need to love me with all your heart. Isn't that what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. You know, folks, the reason we get away from the Lord, it's a love problem, isn't it? Now, if my wife and I were ever to have issues, and we never have, I'm sure we never will, shoo, at least not on her part, if we have contention and difficulties, what's the problem? Well, she would tell you it's me, and she probably would be right, but it's a love problem, isn't it? When I don't treat my wife the way I should, it's a love problem. And what the Lord is telling Peter is, Peter, you got a love problem, buddy. Peter, you need to love me supremely above all things. And you say, well, Gary, I sing, oh, how I love Jesus. That's easy to sing, isn't it? But how do you know, how do you show that you really love the Lord? And John, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so the Lord says to him, you know what, Peter, you just need to follow me. You need to feed my sheep. You need to do my service. You just need to obey and do what's right. And then he goes on and he deals with him some more. And he said, you know what, not only supreme love, but notice the rest of the passage. We don't usually look at this, but he says in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Now, what he's saying is, when you were a child, you dressed yourself the way you wanted to. You were in control of that. You went where you wanted to. But he said, when you're old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And he's talking about the sacrifices that Peter's going to have to make, and he's going to be put in prison, and he's going to be killed. And he said, difficult times are coming for you, and you need to be willing to sacrifice for me. And then he says, if you'll do that, he said, in the end of verse 19, he said again, you need to follow me. You see, folks, to be restored to Christ, we need to learn to love him again for who he is and what he has done. And we need to be willing to sacrifice to serve him. And he gives us one more here in this passage. And he goes on to verse 20. And Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple, that's John, whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He said, all right, Lord, you told me what's going to happen to me when I get old. What about John? And look what the Lord says to him. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What's he saying? Mind your own business, buddy, and just follow me. Isn't it amazing how we get sidetracked? And we're concerned about that person, this person, this person. And the Lord says to Peter, Peter, your problem is, buddy, you just need to get single-minded and follow me and do what's right no matter what. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about the other people. Don't compare yourself to them. Do what's right. Now, Peter had strayed far from the Lord. He had left the Lord. He denied the Lord. He was walking in disobedience. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to restore him. And, of course, you know that the reason he asked, lovest thou me, three times, is because Peter had denied Christ three times. And he's restoring him to a place of service. And by the way, was Peter restored? Yeah, you read first half of the book of Acts. He's the central character. You read the two books that he wrote under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Great, wonderful books. God used Peter in a mighty way. Now, I wonder tonight where you are. Where are you spiritually? Can you say that you're walking with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, serving the Lord? Or have you strayed? Have you stumbled? Have you faltered? The Lord wants to restore you. He wants to bring you back to fellowship, bring you back to service. God wants to use you again. And I want to encourage you today, it may be that the Lord has kind of pulled up on the shore of your life and is trying to get you back to him tonight. By the way, this is a great crowd tonight. At 6 o'clock when it was pouring rain, I thought to myself, well, I'll preach to my wife and we'll have revival, the two of us. It'll be great, you know. But you all showed up, and she's really glad you did too. It's a great crowd tonight. Let me ask you about your walk with the Lord. Are you walking in obedience? Are you fellowshipping with the Lord on a daily basis? By the way, you don't have to work to get away from the Lord. In fact, if you do nothing, you'll get away from the Lord. Just quit praying. Quit reading the Word of God. Quit obeying. And boy, before long, you'll have no presence of the Lord in your life at all. If you have strayed from the Lord's presence and from his service, the Lord is calling you back tonight. And he's saying, don't you love me more than you love all the stuff? Won't you be willing to sacrifice to serve me? Won't you have a single-minded service for God? Won't you get back? Get back and be restored to walk with the Lord again. God is speaking to your heart tonight. I would encourage you to confess and forsake and to renew your walk with the Lord. And you may have come in here tonight like Peter did, but you can leave here like Peter did, restored walking with the Lord, sweet fellowship, serving the Lord with all of your heart, and making your life count. I hope this week, although I didn't spend a whole lot of time on that phrase, but that phrase that has been ringing in my heart, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than that? Do you love me more than that person or that thing? The Lord wants to walk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to use you. But you're going to have to repent and confess and return to the Lord. And if you will, hallelujah, you can be restored and you can know the Lord's presence and his power in your life once again. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this great story that we have talked about tonight. We thank you that though Peter had strayed far from you, he'd failed, he'd fallen, he'd stumbled. Lord, you came to him and you restored him. And Lord, you brought him back to that close walk in fellowship and usefulness. And Lord, you used him mightily that day of Pentecost as he got up and preached, and thousands were saved. And Lord, I don't know anyone's heart here today but my own. Lord, you know their hearts. And I pray that if there's one here tonight whose conscience is being pricked and they're saying, oh my, that's me. I'm not where I ought to be. I've strayed from that place of fellowship and service in my walk with the Lord. God, I pray that even tonight they would come to you and be restored to fellowship. I wonder tonight, I've been speaking to Christians, but you can't be restored until you're born again. And I wonder if tonight there might be one who would say, well, Gary, I don't know what you're even talking about. I'm not a child of God. I need to be saved. This has not been a salvation message, but we always want to leave that open to you. Is there one tonight to say, Gary, I'm not even sure of heaven. I'm not sure I'm a child of God, but I sure would like to be. Just slip up your hand, put it there for a moment, put it back down. Good. All right, believers, has God spoken to you tonight? Has he camped at your seat and convicted you that, boy, you're just not where you used to be, not what you used to be, and that you need to get restored tonight? God has pinpointed a specific thing, maybe a specific thing in your life that you're loving more than him. And when he says, lovest thou me more than these, you can't say, Lord, I love you more than these. Maybe something has happened in your life that has caused you to turn against God and get bitter against God, and you need to come back and be restored in that fellowship. I wonder tonight, if you're saying that in your heart, we'd love to pray for you. We won't pray for you by name. We'd never do that, embarrass you. But we'd like to know how the Lord is working and what he's doing in your life tonight. And I wonder if there's one that say, Gary, this message, God put it on your heart for me. I need restoration. I'm not where I once was. If you're saying that in your heart, would you just slip up your hand for just a moment? Hold it there and then put it right back down. Say, God has spoken to me tonight about a specific area of my life, a specific need, and I'd ask you to pray for me tonight. Lord, we do thank you for these folks, their good attention tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed work in our hearts and lives. I'm going to have you stand together. Just I surrender all, be fine. And we're going to have her play one stanza. God has spoken to you, you need to come. As they play, you come and you meet with the Lord. Thank you. we thank you for the word of God tonight, and we thank you again for these good folks that have been here and come out faithfully, even during the rain and all. And Lord, we thank for our church and the special moving of God that we saw Sunday night, and how people were helped as we think about your peace. We thank you that today we have the confidence that Shirley's in heaven with you. And we pray that you'd comfort that family and minister during the funeral tomorrow. And be with Dallas especially, Lord, and help him during the coming days. Pray for our cancer ministry folks as they go into the hospital tomorrow, that you'd give them wisdom and a real compassion for these people, and that they might be helped as they give them the word of God and as they pray for them and try to encourage them in the Lord. And the Lord bless our church family this week. Help us, Lord, to serve you wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if you have someone that plays an instrument in your family, come up real quickly. I'll take you about 5 minutes and I'll let you go. Thank you, folks.